I want to just read a little bit here in Book of Galatians in the first chapter. Paul says, we'll read the beginning because it's pertinent to the rest of it. Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead, and all the brethren which are with me under the church of Galatia, grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father. Well, that should really be even our Father, as far as I can see. And to whom be glory forever and ever. Because that word kaya, conjunction, can be used as a preposition. Now, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you, that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you, then ye have received, let him be accursed. Now, if you understand here what Paul is saying, he is saying that any change in the word that he has brought to the Galatians and brought to us consequently, any change will bring about a curse and be cursed of God and accursed from God, because that is what he is actually saying. Now, this is no different from John the Revelator saying, if any man add to the words of this book, the plagues will be added, or if he take away a word, then his name will be taken out of the book of life. There's absolutely no difference between the two of them. And there's no difference into what Moses said also in the journey of the exit, when he mentioned that you cannot add to the book or take from it under penalty of curse. And, of course, although Paul does not use that actual language, that language is actually there. Now, when you take this scripture and refer it to John and take it back to Moses, you will find that John is an Exodus preacher and that Moses was an Exodus preacher. It was a time of the presence of God and the time when Israel was to go into the promised land. And, of course, when John saw the day of the Lord and saw the history of the church, he was looking forward to the last few days that Brother Branham was in and we are in, wherein the Exodus is about to take place into the promised land. Now, this is the big thing that we're looking for. Regardless of how little we really know about the millennium, the fact remains that we are looking to get back to the Garden of Eden, pure and simple. We are looking for a rule of righteousness on earth under the greater Son of David, even Jesus Christ. We are looking for a resurrection. We're looking for a rapture. We're looking for the end of time and this earth to be purified, at least in part, so we can come back here under righteous reign and live the way we were supposed to live. And we lost it through Eve and Adam in the Garden of Eden when they were chased out of there. They were displaced. And now it says a flaming sword was held by cherubim to keep them out of that garden. And then, of course, it was taken off the earth, which, as Brother Branham said, Eden was God's government upon earth. So we're looking for a return to that. And that is exactly what we are supposed to have, where we come back as a family unit, and there, under the proper conditions, we have humanity and family life, social life, whether there be towns, whether there be just one vast nation, whatever God wants in that millennium, that's going to be for the bride at that particular time, Old and New Testament, with Jesus Christ reigning and ruling. So, And that's happened in every age. Because Brother Branham said the gospel was allotted to every age, and whatever the word was for that hour, that age, that is what they had. And then it went on to the fourth age, where there was literally no word left at all, just a little bit. And then it began coming back under Luther, under Wesley, and under Pentecost, where even you could have a misunderstanding of Godhead. You could join churches, and things like that you could get by with. But at the end time, under the Exodus, you go back to what the beginning was, which is the Ephesian church. And the Ephesian church, chapter number 1, is the history of the bride through all ages, but more particularly, the Gentile bride, as from the Ephesian church, which was the first age to now. Now, we have to return to the Ephesian church, which was word perfect, back to the gospel of Paul. And that is done by the Holy Spirit himself coming into the church, as Brother Branham said, and what he would do, revealing the mysteries. But not only that, he corrected that after Daniel 70's week, and he said, correcting the errors, so now we come to a perfect word. And so here is what we're looking at. We are looking at the gospel, which Paul said, I knew only this among you, Christ in him crucified. In other words, Paul exalted the death, the shed blood, the forgiveness of sins, the complete obliteration of sin. As Brother Branham said, how can you call a man a sinner when the blood scatters sin till there be no evidence? How can we then honor the Lord's death and resurrection, which you do by taking the Lord's Supper, and be off the word? Because Paul said, this gospel I got from God himself. And the major gospel was that God came in flesh through the flesh of Jesus Christ. That Jesus died upon Calvary. The blood was shed. And the life then came back very definitely upon the people, which, of course, is that bride. So my thesis tonight is this. I'm with Brother Branham 100%. How in the world can anybody who is not full of the Holy Ghost take communion? How can anybody dare to take communion and defy the word of the living God? How can anybody in this hour and day not come into actual judgment because they defied the word of the living God and will still say, well, I can take communion, I can do this, I can do that, I have no problem because I can do it and I'm going to do it. And God has not come down with a sledgehammer or a flaming sword and said, well, I'll just cut your heads off if you dare to take that cup. No, he said, let a man examine himself. Let a man see if he understands the virgin birth. Let a man examine himself and see if he understands identification. Let a man stand and see if he understands the truth. That he knows me. That he knows how I act. That he knows what I require. Then he knows what I am doing, and I've always done, and about to wind it up. And I don't think that anybody will take communion outside of those requisites and stand justified before God. I really don't. And I'm not trying to say this just because I want something to say. That could be true too. But the fact of the matter is, Paul said here, he said, let that man be cursed. He said, let an angel from heaven come down. Let the angel be cursed. Well, now, we're at the place of 2 Thessalonians. We're at the place of Matthew 12. We're at that place today. It's been vindicated to us. There's no doubt about it. Absolutely none. You cannot believe for one moment the word of the living God and see it manifested before you the way God's always done it and then back away and say, well, you know, I don't have to take that. Well, the point is, you do have to take it. Now you're putting the rock in a hard place. Now, you can either believe the word of God that's vindicated, take communion, and be justified, or you can raise your back up and say, I'll do it anyway, and you'll find what's going to happen to you. You can do what you want. It's a free country. We are under a covenant of choice. And Brother Branham said, the soul within us has that ability to make that choice. Now, either we can go the way of the light within, Or we can go opposite. Now let's put it this way. Why would you possibly have any reason to obey God under any consideration, taking communion, doing anything, going to church like you're supposed to, paying tithe, turning the other cheek, doing anything at all? Why would you be under any obligation to do it if you didn't know what was right? Now, if you don't know what's right, and you have the choice in this hour to know what is right, now, there's no problem in doing what God wants us to do, because in being right, we have sown the seed which cannot return to God void. In other words, the minute you and I sow the seed of the word of truth in whatever we do, God's seal of approval is on it, and God is now responsible to bring it forth, and he will. And he does it. And we just don't seem to want to understand that. We don't seem to take that to heart. So tonight, as we understand the word of living God and take the emblems we've been commanded to do, and to wash feet we commanded, let us go beyond the simple rights that God has given us and demand of ourselves, because we have to demand of ourselves. We can't demand of God. There's no way. God's already made everything propitious. When he said, come and dine, he didn't say, come and dine, bring your own fish and cook your own food. He said, it's already here, come and eat it. So when God Almighty has made actually everything propitious for us by redeeming us by the blood, filling us with the Holy Spirit, giving us an understanding of his word, and showing where we are today, we can take and say, well, Lord, it's not difficult to enter into communion on the grounds of the revelation that you gave. We can do that, because we know your blessings on it. It's the same thing when we do anything else that is not a right which is given to the church, like communion, foot washing. But the other commandments of God, let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor working with his hands that which is good, he have to give him that which hath not. See, right away you'd say, well, the man who used to steal, he should not steal anymore, he should work and labor consistently. And that way that, you know, he'll have plenty for his family. He doesn't say that. He'll have plenty to give to somebody else. And so the idea, America, corporate America, has only one thing in mind. Get, gimme, 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 grab, grab, grab. These CEOs and these people are going to answer to God for having taken the wages from men and women, so that men and women would have a right in the happiness of handing out and being a blessing and all. These men will answer to God. Don't you think they won't? They're going to weep and howl like they never believed possible. And I'm not here judging and say I'm happy. Well, I'm not going to be unhappy when it happens. I'm going to be happy it happens to me. They're not happy it happens to them. I can't help that. I didn't do it. They did it. So we have a precept tonight, as I'm trying to get across, simply knowing what we're doing in taking these emblems. We know that. And we know how we're doing it. Then, as we have faith to do that, we have faith to take step by step, knowing that God is in the blessing of his word, and he's helping us day by day to make this life of Christ manifest in us. Let's rise at this time, and we can partake of the emblems and foot washing. Ask the brethren to come forward and set the service in order here. And Lloyd, Heavenly Father, as we look to you now, we dedicate these emblems of which we will partake to you, Lord, and to the grace which gave us this opportunity, and our hearts, Lord, to look within our spirit and our soul, Lord, to look within according to the word, that we might not have anything against anybody, Lord, that might all be washed away. And our lives, Lord, are full of faith in your word, knowing that your word is true. And what we do, Lord, is at your command. So therefore, Lord, we receive the blessing which you have in this service and in the days to come. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Our gracious Heavenly Father, as we depart tonight, we pray you'll go with us to give each one of us, Lord, strength that only you can give, strength in the inner man, Lord, even to the extent of coming through the outer man, Father, that we may have that strength to do your service day by day, strength, Lord, to go to work, and strength, my God, to keep up in this life which we know is full of stress and strain at the very end time, but there is a peace we know that you can give us and rest it within our souls even as you promised. And we trust, Lord, that that becomes our help tonight and all our burdens cast upon you, that we walk in the light, Lord, not growing weary, but moving down that line, knowing that pretty soon, Father, all the labors of life are over and beyond that distant shore. Heal the sick amongst us, we pray, Father God, for your honor and for your glory and for no other reason. And Lord, help anyone who reaches out tonight for a helping hand, knowing, Lord, their hope comes from you. And we give thee glory and honor in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. Take the name of Jesus with you.
Thank you, Jesus.
A little bit here, and just to read, and that's all, giving a little basis to read in 1 Corinthians, the 11th chapter. He says here in verse 26, as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. Now, there's a portion of Scripture that tells us, Jesus himself speaking, that they would take the communion together, the Lord's Supper, in the kingdom. And Brother Branham categorically placed that at the wedding supper. So therefore, the fact of the matter is, as Brother Branham said, and he said it so correctly, that those only who were born again had a right to the table of the Lord. The same prophet said that at the wedding supper, which is where the bride meets the Lord in the air, where that spirit that's in her midst is crowned King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He'll be the Son of God, the Son of David, the Son of Man, the Rose of Sharon, the Lily of the Valley, the altogether lovely. He'll be all in and all in the sense that we know he's the one God, and beside him there is no other. And already he's already coming into line very rapidly, because time and eternity have blended to where the Father becomes all and in all. So the thought tonight is this, that we alone who are born again, who have proven it and know it by the fact that we believe the word for the hour. And our belief is not just a lip service. Our minds have been baptized with the Holy Ghost. Our brains have been entirely quickened. The mind, which is actually a function of the spirit going through the organ of the brain, which goes down into the soul, has the proper mechanics. And when it has the proper mechanics, then the dynamics have to fall upon it. Because that's the law of God, as laid down by Brother Branham. So when you hear all this talk, you know, about people being so dead, and this word, I'll ask you one question. What is there else but word? The people say, spirit. There's no spirit of God outside the word, because the word is the conduit. Now, if you want spirit apart from word, that's, you know, hey, that's all right. I mean, I'm not going to fuss about it, but that's the chaff. That's the anointed ones at the end time. And that's fine if that's what people want. I mean, it's because I'm not their judge and I'm not their guardian. I'm not their warfaring friend that's going to run into my white horse and carry them off to the camp of God. I can't do that. If they're not sheep, they'll not follow. And if they're sheep, they're going to follow. And my question is, what are they going to follow? Well, they hear the voice and they follow. Well, tell me what the voice is. See, that's the big thing. What's the voice? Well, you know, Brother Branham, he'll tell you flat, we'll read it. In fact, we did read it. Where that word is eternal, God can't change his mind. It's written. It's not written in stone. It's written in God. The strong one bound by an oath. How can the strong one bound by an oath ignore one word of his contract? That's why there's not a jot or a tittle. And I know people think, well, hey, if we take a jot or tittle out of there, that's great condemnation. Look, the point is, it's not great condemnation. The only condemnation is this: you miss by taking out that jot and tittle. That's all. You missed it. You missed it. That's what it is. That's the danger of it. That's why the name can be taken out of the book of life and the plagues added. Because you've missed that path. You've missed that word. You've missed that conduit. It's not God just pulling the rug on you and beating your brains in or something. See, you talk to educationists. They tell you the word educo means education, means to lead out, not to pound in. God never pounded in anybody. Your sheep hear the voice and they follow. They have inquiring minds. They have inquiring wills. And so they're afraid to miss the jot and tittle. Why? Because they'll miss the good things of God. That's the thing you're looking at. And that's exactly the scripture, because the scripture warns you about missing the good things of God. That's right, that scripture warns you. And it said, and it tells you, watch for your old age. Beware lest old age come upon you. And you say, I had no pleasure in those days. See? Remember now thy creator in the days of thy youth. Remember now and all the way through. Watch that word. See? So that's what we're looking at tonight. We're looking at this blessed word. And we're looking at communion service that says, look, this is for the bride. And this is what you are doing until and toward and for and apart what you have to put you over there at the wedding supper. Now you see, if you don't take it, you've got no faith in the wedding supper. If you take it wrong, you've got a real problem. You've got to make that right and say, hey, I've got to stop this foolishness. I've got to get this thing right. In other words, there's a life to live. We've never ever claimed there's no life to live. I just say, look, I'm not set for the defense of morals because I'm set for the defense of the gospel. Because Brother Branham said, he said, if you're born again, you will quit smoking. If you are born again, you will quit drinking. You will. So I'm not set for the defense of those things. Well, he said, smoking, drinking, cursing, they're just attributes. He said, sin is unbelief. But now I'm a believer now. The attributes are going to go. So you see here we're looking at this. This becomes an illuminating promise of God. I am taking this communion tonight. I'm washing feet, exactly what God said. I'm looking for that great marriage supper, and I'm going to take it up there. This is part of my covenant, and this is my answer back to God. Yes, Lord, I do believe it. I do believe it. I know these things take time to come into our lives and to develop. It's just like you take in the morning, you may take a very good protein drink with lots of enzymes and amino acids and all the good things in there. I think the Dr. McDaniel told you about here a little while ago. And you glug it down and say, well, you know, that should do a world of good. You're suddenly not going to explode into a great whirlwind of energy, overtake the world, do pinwheels and flip-flops and God knows what. You got to wait for that to get into your system and begin to energize and move. And so it is with all the revelation we have. And all these things here. You don't become overnight a qualified, grown-up Christian. You have to go through your training. And all the word comes to us, it's just more and more training. And tonight I'm saying, look, this communion that we take, we will take it at the wedding supper when we meet Him in the air. And this says, this, what I am doing, I will do there. That's why I'm doing it now, because I will do it there. This is my answer back to God. Yes, Lord. I believe your word. I'm entitled, as being a child of yours, as being a seed full of the Holy Ghost, to take these emblems and I will meet you at the wedding supper. That's what there is to it. Now, that's the mechanical part. Now it's gotta get down from the brain to the mind into the soul. Where Brother Branham said, there you feed the Christ within you, the living word of the living God. So all of these things are here what Brother Branham taught us. You listen to them. You take them. You bring them through your mind mechanically. You catalog, categorize, file away, put it there. Let God now anoint and move. But if it isn't there, there's no anointing going to fall on it. Not going to have it. So let's get away from all this nonsense of people fussing about the word as though the word really is nothing. It's just a little book that God will listen. This is the living word. God Himself imprinted back by God. Let's rise this time. And the brethren come forward. We'll have the rest of the service together. Let's just pray. Heavenly Father, we would sanctify these emblems to the people as from your hand, Lord, through the word that you gave us, knowing that we are doing what you told us to do, and hopefully, Lord, everything is in exact order as you desire, knowing also, Lord, that you have promised us that we would be able to take this anew in the kingdom, as Brother Branham said, and put it at the wedding supper. Lord, that's the big thing we're looking for, the rapture and the wedding supper. And this is our little part of showing that we do believe the best we can that we have the understanding here, Lord. This is true. And it is true. And as Brother Branham said, if it's not for us, it's for somebody else. And by your grace, He won't stand in the way. But He also said, every one of you believe that it is you who are going to be there. And we do believe tonight, therefore, and take it to our minds and bring it down deep into our hearts that you might water it And we just live that life in Jesus' name, we pray, amen. Lord, lead the song service, and you can come immediately start coming from that side of the building. Heavenly Father, as we go our way, we pray, Lord, that you'll bring us back tomorrow, having had a good night's rest. And as we know the body heals during sleep, we pray bodies may heal, Father. We have strength and energy for another day, O God, and may it be to your glory, and may it be Christ in us, God in us, willing and doing these, O good pleasure. Heal the sick amongst us, we pray, Lord, even as we continue to look to you for these answers as given us by the prophet. And one of the King Eternal, the only wise God, be all honor and glory through Jesus Christ, our blessed Savior, world without end. Amen. Take the name of Jesus with you. Amen. Find a little scripture. And now, going to the 13th chapter of John, we have the foot washing scene there where Peter misunderstood what Jesus was doing. And Jesus said in verse 10, "He that is washed needeth not save to wash feet, but is clean every whit, and ye are clean, but not all. For he knew who should betray him, therefore he said, you are not all clean." Now, you notice in there that Jesus had not yet shed his blood, but the blood would be shed, and yet they were clean. Even as John said, the seed of God cannot sin, because a real, truly born again child can't sin because his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. And fact of the matter is, we're talking about the seed that comes down through natural generation, though it in itself is supernatural, being a part of God. And I take that to be the soul, because I couldn't get any other thought from it than what Brother Branham said. So, and from the scripture, especially the soul being on the inside, and remember, it was the soul of Jesus that went down to Hades. The spirit went back to God, so the spirit being allowed of God and the soul being of God make that two different things. So he said, this one here was not clean, and there's no way that Judas could be clean at all. So after he'd washed their feet and taken his garments, was set down again, he said unto them, "Know ye what I have done to you? You call me Master and Lord, and ye say, well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. And verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither is he that sent greater than he that sent him." Now, see, there again, he's lining up the church. Like it says, here's the woman. The head of the woman is man. The head of man is Christ. The head of Christ is God. And he's telling them here, he said, the servant is not greater than his Lord. And the Jesus is Lord of that group of disciples. He certainly is. Then he said, neither is he that is sent greater than he that sent him. So he's letting them know that he is not as great as God. He's not as great, he's not greater. So he's under God, as the scripture said. It said the head of man is Christ, the head of Christ is God. And so you have to see that God is supreme. In fact, that's what the word God means, deity, which means sovereign. He does what he wants, when he wants to do it, how he wants to do it, and nobody can say anything about it. And if he's not what he says he is, which is a God of love, we're in trouble. He's just a capricious God. And nobody knows. But you see, the very fact that he's made himself so absolutely available and so absolutely revealed proves that he's a God of love, that he is love. So God's in three. Now, I speak not, no, if you know these things, happy are you if you do them. Well, happy are you why? Number, not just the foot washing, is the recognition of authority and come under it. See, that's what he's talking about. Jesus thoroughly came under God. And God was thoroughly manifest in him and through him. Now, Christ wants to be thoroughly manifest in and through the church, so the church can be living epistles read and known of all men. But how do you do it? You come under the authority of God. Now, the only authority of God that God has is the revealed word. And this is a difficult thing, because the Bible tells us even the prophets prophesying at times, did not know what they were prophesying. It had to come to pass. Now, we had William Branham come and tell us those things we needed to know, which are so tremendous, he went right back into eternity to describe and tell us the very things that Paul told us, just barely as a shadow, even as Paul said it was known the Gentiles should come in. It was already known, prophesied, but it's not known as it's known now because the Gentiles were come in because God had revealed his word by interpreting it, or interpreting his word by bringing it to pass. So we're looking at this tonight, and we can see that if we line up with the word as taught to us in this hour, we're right back to Ephesus, and that means rapture, because that's what the first chapter of Ephesians is all about, from eternity to eternity, from when God started with his purpose to when he ended it with the bride in the New Jerusalem. Now, he's got other purposes, that's fine. I don't know, I'm not going to argue that point or talk about it. All I know is that that's for us. I speak not of you all, I knew whom I have chosen, but that the scripture may be fulfilled. He that eateth bread with me have lifted up his heel against me. Now, the point is, how could Judas lift up his heel against Jesus unless he had the intimate connection that he had? And that's what we look at, too, with this message. How in the world could there possibly be problems except problems that come from association? I don't believe for one minute that the world's the least bit interested in you and me. Oh, once in a while they call us a bunch of idiots and a sect and a few things like that, and they accuse Brother Branham of believing in abortion because Brother Branham didn't say what Mr. Clinton did. Mr. Clinton said that the baby has life when it breathes, because the word spirit is the same word in the Greek and the Hebrew for air or breathing. So if the baby doesn't breathe, it's not alive. Well, Brother Branham didn't say that. Brother Branham said it's just kicking muscles and nerves, and the body itself hasn't come until the spirit comes into it. He didn't call it a breath at all. He called it a spirit, which stood there waiting to receive the baby. And then he told the Mormon man, whose baby was born, stillborn, never came forth with life at all to breathe, he said, you see that baby in heaven. Why? Because the soul was there. See? So what happens, the spirit leaves and the soul stays. If you die, first thing is the spirit goes. Into thy hands I commend my spirit. What went first? The spirit left Jesus. Then what happened? The soul went down to Hades. So Brother Branham told a certain man, his name was, Edmund Way. He said to Brother Branham, he said, I don't remember being dying. Remember what? He said, that's because he said the spirit goes and the soul lingers. I'm sure that's the words he said. But you can go to the Bible and find that for yourself. Into thy hands I commend my spirit. So if he commended his spirit, the spirit went back to God. And where did the soul go? Then the soul went down to Hades. Went down there. So what was the real person? The real person was the soul. That was Jesus. That was that. And he was that real person, which was a part of God. When God breathed Adam the breath of life, he became a living soul. It wasn't before. So the Holy Spirit, that little life in there is Holy Spirit, and that's that seed that God breathes upon, uniting it back to him. And it hasn't to do with the soul. It wasn't the soul that sinned, it was the flesh. You find Brother Branham tells you all those things. It was that went into degradation. So the body goes into death and then comes back in a resurrection later on. So the point is here, who would be the ones that become your enemies? And what did Paul say? He said, I tell you even now weeping that those who are once my friends have become the enemy of the cross. And who in the world is going to be the enemy of this message except that those people that thought they saw something? And like that fellow named Moore out there in Arizona. Oh my, he was all great for this and great for that, and heaven knows what return ministry. He had everything all lined up, and he was about the biggest blowhard I ever heard in my life, and he knew everything. And then suddenly something comes along. What was it, 1977? Where Brother Branham never said it's got to take place. He just said that it could happen. Then he said, well, it doesn't look like it's going to be. And he said, well, just by reckoning on the fact of the revelation that God gave him and how fast they were coming to be, that he thought by 1977. So he turns around and then he says every wicked and terrible thing he could say against Brother Branham. Well, the point what I'm driving at is here, the people that do the damage, like, what damage can a thief do to your home? In comparison to the thief that's been in your home. So that's what we're looking at. And those that are so friendly with you and la-di-da, Yeah, they're right with it. And all they're doing is waiting for a chance to cut your throat and destroy anything they can do. And that's what Judas did. But Judas was more of a man than these guys. At least he went and hanged himself. But that's, well, I don't say they should hang themselves. They've already hung themselves, actually, on the grounds of what they've done, because they have been very wrong. And he said, he then that eateth bread with me hath lifted up his heel against me. And I tell you before that, when it come to pass, you believe me that I am he. So when you engage in foot washing, it's actually something which is done amongst those that are guests, and they are part of you. They come into your home, they eat with you, and they drink with you, even as in the communion of the table of the Lord. All of these things, but it also shows that there is where you're going to have your difficulty. The difficulty, no doubt, what comes in the future, will have to come, I don't say positively, but what I read here, it shows that if Jesus had a Judas, Brother Branham said he knew who his were, and I want you to know Brother Branham's ministry, there was already the homosexuals were rising up, and they were there. It wasn't long afterward, there were more and more of them, and so we find here at the end time now, I believe that there'll be, who knows, I don't know what's going to happen amongst a lot of people that say they believe this message, but from the scripture here, you follow types, it's going to be, what I would say, a very serious possibility of a great deal of problems coming up because of people who say, look, I believe Brother Branham, but they don't believe him at all. And they don't believe him because they don't have vindication. So that's enough for tonight. We've taken a lot of time. We have no further time. Let's rise at this time. Then the deacons come forward. And we'll be ready then for the foot washing communion service. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, again we thank you for the privilege of coming to this point of our service tonight when we have foot washing and the partaking of the emblems of the broken body and shed blood, which we know, Lord, has been stated by Brother Branham, are reserved for those who are full of the Holy Spirit, baptized in the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we believe, Lord, that that is for those who believe this message, who have been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, when, Lord, they did the first two things, repenting and being baptized, and you, Lord, have done the third, and now piling word upon word, being more and more full of the Spirit of God. So, Father, we believe this is our privilege tonight, and you've told us to do it, and herein we are doing it, examining ourselves, that we do have the right, and we do love the brethren, and we are abstaining, Lord, from the things of the world, also having forgiveness when we failed, knowing that we have an intercessor who comes against our adversary, who pleads our case and keeps us within the fold because we are part of that fold. May your name be glorified in the proceeding of this service. May Christ's name be exalted. May no shame ever come upon you, Lord. And may we not be, Father, found in disobedience to you and your word, Lord, that we may be the stalwart children of the cross, children of the word. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, amen. You just come around from the side there, the brethren help you. Journey ahead, and may we come back tomorrow, Father, to be blessed of you, and may your word have full course in our lives and be glorified, and we in turn help others. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Take the name of Jesus with you.
The name of Jesus.
A little bit there. Now, he's speaking here of the atonement. Who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? Now, we know that when God reached down in salvation, they called it the mighty arm of the Lord in deliverance, and we know that was Christ. We might call him the arm of the Lord, because God delivered through him, but God was doing deliverance, as God was in Christ reconciling the world. And we notice there that Jesus was the only begotten Son for this particular reason, the agent of creation and through whom God operated. And we find the priesthood set up at the same time. He said, he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and a root out of dry ground. He hath no form or comeliness that we should see him. And when we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised, rejected, a man of man, a sorrow, acquainted of the grief. And we hid as it were our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Now, if that's the way he was, that's the way he is. You see, If you go back to the time when Jesus was on earth, if he would have taken any other path than the path he took, being the one who had to take that path, they would have followed him like crazy. No problem. Because he would have fit their creeds and their dogmas and everything they wanted. So they saw nothing in him. Now you show me in the 2,000 years of seven church ages that that's changed. It hasn't changed. The minute the true revelation comes, nobody wants him. No way. It's just like if I really do have a true gift of teaching, like Brother Branham said, nobody wants it. He said they wouldn't want it. You know, something funny happened years ago. Now, let's be honest with you, because some people are never honest with me. People sit here and they act as though they believe everything else. So one time I decided to have a certain purpose. I won't mention the man's name or anything. I said, okay, I'll put myself up for a vote. A lot of people wanted to vote me out. You know, you can't hide if you try. I don't know who you are. And it doesn't bother me. If people really believe what I teach, I know I'd have to stop teaching it. Or I'm something wrong with me somewhere, because that doesn't fill the word of the prophet. Why do people think I make these things up? And that you can think what you want, but I'm just illustrating and showing you. It says he's despised and rejected. You can't. Listen, this Bible is true. It was there before there was a speck of stardust or an atom. Oh my, we were there too in him. Rejected, not esteemed. He had borne our griefs, carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God. That would be Elohim, I believe that one is Elohim. And afflicted, or maybe Jehovah. He was wounded for our transgression, bruised for our iniquity. His chastened our peace upon him, with his stripes were healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord has laid upon the neck of his law. He was oppressed, he was afflicted, he had opened not his mouth. He brought his lambs to slaughter, as the sheep before his shearers dumps, he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment. Who shall declare his generation? He was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. He made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death. That's right. Crucified on the cross and buried in a rich man's grave. Because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. See, the power he used completely right, if he used it at all. And he used his mouth exactly right. That's why the mouth is a very important thing. Out of the heart the mouth speaketh. That's why at the end time, God watches what people are saying, listens in their conversation. If you want to have truth in your mouth, take the message. He was taken from prison, from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? He never had any kids. For he's cut off the land of the living, for the transgression of my people was he stricken. He made his grave with the wicked, the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, and deceit in his mouth. It pleased the Lord to bruise him, put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. when he shed his blood, before somebody lives. An animal eats the grass dies, we kill the animal, eat the animal. Adam and Eve had children, they died. They had children, they died. Our parents, most of our parents, a lot of our parents around here, they're dead. And we're parents, we're going to die. Yeah, anything coming to life, death. It's a process. So you got to die to your old life and have this new one. Have the Holy Ghost come upon you. See? Now it says, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days. The pleasure of the Lord will prosper in his hand. That tells you right there that in the resurrection, he'll see his seed. That's what I've said many times. You're accidents of birth. Who are your parents? When you get in the millennium, you're in the first resurrection, you won't say, oh, my mom and my dad and this and that. As far as I know, you could have, maybe some of you, but I kind of, you know. But we'll realize that we are the family of God. We'll realize that God is our Father, New Jerusalem, so to speak, is our mother. It'll be a family of God in there. It won't be worrying about the flesh and this and that. We'll see each other and understand a lot of things. But I can see after the great wedding supper, the total remembrance is supposed to be gone. So you're going to have a new memory. I don't look for a lot of relatives, a lot of people. I'm not really interested. I'm only interested in one thing. Am I a child of God? Will I really be there? Is Jesus Christ my elder brother? Those are the things I want to know. And if I'm his seed, he'll prolong his days in me. In other words, being his seed, we're his progeny, his offspring. You know, immortality is actually having children. Adam was immortalized by having children, and children down, and mortality runs out. So immortality now must take over, but the immortality was there in the sense of the progression. And every child of Adam will become up in the resurrection. So you have immortality coming down through mortality. Mortality done away with, here we are. Now, he shall see the travail of his soul shall be satisfied, and by his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify the many, for he shall bear the iniquities. Therefore I divide a portion with the great, and shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he had poured forth his soul unto death, and was numbered with the transgressors, and bare the sins of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. Now that's why we celebrate Lord's Supper, the death of Christ. And that's what was accomplished. Now he accomplished that. So therefore, we are the end of his accomplishment. I know people like to talk about the life of Jesus. Great example, that's true, he was. This, that, and the other thing, that's true. But they forget what it accomplished. And the accomplishment was not for himself. See, when he offered himself, he was sinless. A priest has to offer for himself and the others that are sinful. But Jesus couldn't offer it for himself. He offered it for us. And when God raised him from the dead, showed that God was 100% satisfied with the effort made. And when he sent forth the Holy Ghost, he showed he was satisfied with the product. That's why God comes down at the end time to take up the people that are his. And when he becomes incarnated in the Lord Jesus Christ, the flesh, we're presented as the bride, and we crown him King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That will be the Son of God, the Son of David, the Son of Man. That'll be Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. The Valley of the world together lovely. Brother Branham said so. So there we're talking about the Lord's Supper. That is what has been accomplished, and we praise the Lord for it, that God has done this. So when we take the emblems tonight, remember, that's what we're talking about. He said, remember, this has been done, and it'll take you to the millennium. Right? Why would he say it if he didn't mean it? You do now, we'll do it over there. Right? So it's a fait, it's what they call a fait accompli. That's a French term which means it's done. Just like Jesus said, it's finished. It's all over. And that's why people write books like Arthur J. Pink on the satisfaction of God. God was satisfied. Then if God was satisfied, who are we to satisfy? If God says it's final, it's good, why do we want to put our two bits in? We're right where Brother Branham said. God does it, then man wants to put something to it. Can't leave it alone. Yet perfection means you touch it. It's gone. Shut up and sit down and listen. Hardest thing in the world. So listen. To receive, to believe, and acknowledge what God said about what he did, and why he did it, and what comes out of it. Right there. Let's rise. The brethren come forward at this time. We'll partake of the emblems together. And don't forget, get your questions ready for tomorrow. I don't want to go through my notes again. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, these emblems that you left for us mean that we believe, or we certainly ought to believe, and we must now believe that this is what we do, knowing what we will do again with you in the millennium, in the Father's kingdom. And Lord, that could even extend to the holy city, I don't know. But you said we would do it. And when you came back from the dead, you ate with them. Even as the prophet said, you ate a fish sandwich. That's what Jesus did. And Father, you allowed that. You wanted that. That was in your plan. That was your word coming into effect. How wonderful then when we go over there, your word will be effective. We will do this very thing in a new way, in new bodies, changed to what we were in the beginning, manifested now at the end. Exactly, Lord, return to you what you wanted. And that's what we want too. That's what we've always wanted. Help us tonight not to be afraid any longer, but we're going to be exactly what you said. Because you cannot give any word that'll return to you void. We will not, cannot go back without being fulfilled. And we will go back because you sent us. We're apart because we have the witness. We have the evidence of the truth. And we know what the prophet said and was vindicated. And in the name of Jesus Christ, we rebuke every thought that is foreign to it and take in control every spirit that would rise against it. So we can proclaim to the glory of God that Jesus Christ is Lord and has accomplished this according to the Father's will. And now the Father's will is complete. And it's complete in us. And we are now doing that which you asked us to do and ordered us to do. And we are doing, contemplating the future. And we'll do it with you. In the name of Jesus Christ, we thank you. Amen. The book of Exodus, rather. And it has to do with the offering of Isaac. We'll read this for the Lord's Supper. And it said, here Isaac said unto Abraham, my father, and he said, here am I, my son. And he said, behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the sacrifice, for the burnt offering? And Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went, both of them, together. And they, see, Abraham's faith was there already. And they came to the place which God had told him of, and Abraham built an altar there, and laid the wood in order, and bound Isaac his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. The angel of the Lord called him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here am I. And he said, lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do any harm, do anything to him. For now I know you fear God, seeing you have not withheld thy son, thine only son. Now you notice in here the strange language right off the bat. The angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven. And then he said, for I know thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son. Now, you know, there's always a great problem in reading the Bible as to whether you believe that's simply an angel, or you believe that's Jesus Christ, or you believe God himself is the angel of the covenant, which sometimes he is. And so when you see these things here, it's a little difficult to place them all. But there's where I just disregard all these little places that question, have a little question mark as to what personality. It really doesn't matter so much. The thing is, if an angel of God brought a message, or Jesus brought a message, an archangel brought a message, or a dove from heaven brought a message, and it was strictly from God, it wouldn't make any difference. The message is God, because it came from God, and only God could say it, and that would have to be a part of him, because he's a strong one bound by an oath. So you see, it's always a matter of that strength is not what you look about God. It is the Word. It's that Word. And being God, the Word, God fulfills himself in the people. So Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, a ram caught in the thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. Now, the last verse is the big verse. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh. That's the Lord will provide. Now listen, as it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord, it shall be seen. Now the mount of the Lord, I believe, is Zion, where the New Jerusalem is, and you will see on the throne the provided lamb. Now Brother Branham's most famous sermon on the whole Jehovah complex was Jehovah Jireh, right on this very subject right here. Now it says, to this day, in the mount of the Lord. The sacrifice of Jesus, God's provision, The man of such character, as we saw in the Sermon on Identification, will be there on the throne with the nail prints in his hand, in his side, in his feet, and in the brow. Never, ever changing. The provision of God is there. And remember, communion will be taken until we go to the millennium and start it all over again. Because there will never, ever, ever, ever be a time when the Lamb is not honored as the Lamb. And remember, He is the Word. The Word Lamb, the Lamb Word. Complete fulfillment. God manifest, God in Him, and He was the sacrifice. And he was actually, you might say, the altar upon which His life, His body was the altar upon which His life was poured and given for you and me. And He will be on the throne in the New Jerusalem. And remember, according to Hebrews 12, we are now approaching Mount Zion. And there's not the thunder and fear, but it's the joy and rejoicing and the glad marching to Zion, of which we are a part and a portion. So tonight, as we take the emblems, the would represent the broken body and the shed blood, we recognize that this is based in the eternal concept of God, the Lamb, God's provision. And God's provision is of grace. Abraham didn't have to do anything really except take the ram in the thicket and kill it. He didn't have to sacrifice himself or his family. And the Bible is very clear that God doesn't want our sacrifice. In fact, He gets very fed up with them. He gets very fed up with the fastings. And it just becomes an abomination of stink in His nostrils. Why? Because as Brother Branham said, they're always adding to it. Never can let God have His way. Gotta add to it. Well, that's what I love so much about this vindicated message. We can't take from it. We don't add to it. We stand right here and we read the scripture. We see everything lines with the prophet. See the prophet right in this very day preaching Jehovah Jireh, making the biggest thing out of it. Not prove it. You just get the sermons. You're going to find him. That was one of his favorites right down the line. And he said right there in the holy city, you're going to see it right there. Jehovah Jireh. God the provider. And what did Brother Branham say? He said, the pillar of fire above the throne, and before they call, He answers. Jehovah Jireh, the provider. And what do? We celebrate right here. My, see how the whole Bible comes together? That's one thing I love in teaching the Word. It all comes together. Takes a little while sometimes. Even I get confused, but that's all right. I'm not a prophet. I teach. Precept. Line upon line. Here a little. Little. Building a house. Foundation. Superstructure. Do the finishing. Finally hang the drapes. It's all over. I believe that. I believe we're getting there. Well, the Lord bless you. Let's rise. Brethren, come forward. Taking a long time tonight, but that's all right. You'll have Brother John for 30 minutes tomorrow. All right, shall we just bow our heads? Now, Heavenly Father, as we stand here, these elements we have seen again tonight, the glory of this little memorial that has been left behind, this commandment, reaching right into eternity. How wonderful that we can stand here and know what it is about and partake and realize Your grace, which is founded in You and continues to stand and will stand. Freely has been given to us. Freely we receive these emblems again. And happily, Lord, we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus Christ that You provided for us. May You receive glory tonight, Lord. And may the revelation of Yourself, which for which we hunger, to come so perfectly to us. You are the Word. We are apart. That's all we ask. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray, amen. That Paul received this as a definitive revelation from God. No doubt he'd heard very many foolish things concerning the Lord's Supper and concerning the conduct of the believers. And he himself believed violently opposite to the truth of the Messiah and the true understanding of Scripture. And so he says here concerning the Lord's Supper that he received it by revelation. That there, it wasn't something that he got on his own. In fact, it was diametrically opposed to anything that he would have believed. That there, it wasn't something that he got on his own. In fact, it was diametrically opposed to anything that he would have believed. And so he says, I received of the Lord that which I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke and said, take ye, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do ye in remembrance of me. Now, there's no doubt here that Paul did not know anything about what Jesus did. And so he would be entirely ignorant, wondering why the people were doing this. Because the converted Jews were doing it. They were breaking bread from house to house. And they were worshiping and praising God. And Paul wouldn't have any idea. And anything that came to him would be absolutely erroneous. And so he said, the night he betrayed, he took bread, which he'd given thanks, he broke and said, take ye, this is my body, which is broken for you, this do in remembrance of me. Now, right there, of course, this is just simply a memorial ceremony. And after the same manner, he took the cup, and when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye think of it in remembrance of me. So, therefore, there are two things you're looking at, the broken body and the shed blood. And as Brother Branham mentioned, that the blood was shed, that the life might come back upon the believer, which the animal blood could not do because the life was entirely different. And when you see, understand that, you begin to understand why Brother Branham talked about God creating the blood cell and then wrapping himself up in it, in order that what was essentially Almighty God could come forth in a body which only the essentiality of God could bring forth. And maybe tomorrow we'll get to where we can talk about that when we go into Genesis again. But you're looking at this, and you're seeing the things that Brother Branham said. And he said, as often as you eat this bread, and that is the fact that Jesus had to die, and the blood had to be shed. Now, the point is the blood didn't have to be shed. He could have died by a crack on the skull. They could have just taken a hammer and hit him on the head, and he could have died, and not a bit of blood shed. You understand what I'm saying? He could have had his body broken all to bits. What if you fell from a 12-story building? It doesn't necessary that your blood would be shed. In fact, they say this, that the blood in the little veins in the temple are so small that they're no consideration, except for the crown of thorns, would that blood have actually left his brow and his temples and all. And then water came forth because they shoved the spear in and it hit the pericardium. And the fluid flowed out. So, you're looking exactly at what Brother Branham said. And what's here? The broken body. He had to die for the sins of the people. Then not only did the animal die, but the blood had to be shed. And when an animal is sufficiently dead, and rigor mortis sets in, the blood congeals right away. You're not going to get any blood coming from a dead being. All the blood is all there. So there had to be literally the life, the heart moving and pumping out the blood. And it started with the crown of thorns, the laceration upon the back, the hands and the feet pierced, the side wounded, and that pericardium of the heart struck. And this, then, is your complete picture of the sacrifice that was made by the Son of God, which God was pleased in, and gave His only begotten Son to that end. So Brother Branham explained this all very thoroughly to us. So whosoever therefore eateth this bread, and in other words, symbolic of the broken body of Jesus, death. See? And drink the cup of the Lord unworthily, the life released for the spirit to come back, shall be guilty of the blood and the blood of the blood and the body and blood of the Lord. That's why Brother Branham said, which was in the not the Septuagint, what do you call it? It doesn't matter anyway. Written within the first 200 years, it says in there that you weren't supposed to receive the emblems of the broken body and shed blood unless you were full of the Holy Ghost. And remember, the baptism with the Holy Ghost was one of the most specifically, poorly, and unrightly taught doctrines in the Bible. After the Pentecostals came on the scene, it was repent and be baptized in water and then tarry for the Holy Ghost. And that's entirely erroneous. Because the Bible said, repent, be baptized, you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. In other words, as Brother Branham said, if you do the first two things in your seed, the third is up to God and He must do it. And he said, there's no sign and there's no emotions concerning the baptism of the Holy Ghost in this hour. It comes without that, and you pile word upon word. And the more word you pile upon word, because that's where the Holy Spirit is, the fuller you are. And you're growing up into that stature of Jesus Christ. So everything that Brother Branham said, when you take back to the Word, you find the beauty of it and the revelation, which is purely wonderful and very, very illuminating. But let a man examine himself. Are you really born again? Well, can you receive the Word that God is bringing? See, for the Word for the hour. Let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. But he that eats and drinketh unworthily, eats and drinks damnation self, not discerning the Lord's body. Isn't that the very thing we read of in the book of Romans? Where these people, oh yeah, I believe that. Oh yeah, I say this and that. And they're liars. They're hypocrites. See, that's what you got right today. We believe the Bible, but this is okay. I know God said this, but believe me, women can preach. Why? Why? History teaches us. God has female servants and male servants, and they're worshiping and serving the Lord. Oh, yes, it's terrible, you Baptists. And you Baptists, you're just cutting your throats all the time. I don't understand what you're doing to yourselves, you bunch of idiots. Now you're saying women can't preach. Well, even the Catholics, they know better, but they got women theologians. This woman, Miss Ford, was a theologian up there in Notre Dame, where, I forget the pastors and their father so-and-so. They have the greatest charismatic bunch in the universe. They had a car, a drunken boy went through the campus one time and mowed down two people. One guy got his legs broken. They prayed and he just like a board. But zoop, from his heels just came right up, perfectly healed. The other guy was dead as a doornail. They laid hands on and prayed and he came back from the dead. Hallelujah. Catholics got the Holy Ghost, speaking in tongues, calling the Pope, Vicar of Christ. No, taking the very word and perverting it. It's like years ago I read about a man, and he was a very honest commentator. And he said, what really puzzles me is this. The church has gone communist. The church, supposing to believe in God, they are now the bastion of those promulgating atheism and communism. What has happened? Just what it says here in Romans. That's what it says in Rome. And we're going through it again. Okay. So, we that believe the word. And for this cause many are weak and sickly among you and many sleep. That's why Brother Branham said, if you could really understand the birth of Jesus Christ, and we're preaching it here all the time just like he taught it, cancers would leave, people be healed. And I'm still wondering what we're missing. Because I've looked at everything. I've looked at the three aspects of it. right down the line, or even the fact where it says, if we know that he hears, we know that we'll get the petition, and absolutely God said, he that turns his ear away from hearing my law, I will not hear his prayer. His prayer shall be an abomination. How can it be that God doesn't hear us? He does hear us. I'm still looking. See what this great word is revealed to us. Jesus, the Son of God, great God, Jehovah Elohim, the complete revelation. What is hindering the people being healed in their seats? I'm looking for it. Someone's going to have it. If I don't have it, someone's going to have it. That Brother Brand said, I'm not that one, there's going to be one. You better believe it. So, all right. Let's be very sincere then tonight as we realize what we have learned. For if we judge ourselves, we should not be judged. In other words, discern. Say, look, is this part of me? Is this part of me? And when we're judged, we're chasing the Lord. We should not be condemned with the world. In other words, we're not like those out there that hold the truth down and mouth it all the time. They take the scripture to defeat the scripture. They take every single thing they can to make the Bible come to nothing. Huh? Well, certainly, you know the homosexuals are doing. Everybody's getting on the bandwagon. Politics. Wherefore, my brother, when you come together, tarry one for another. In other words, let's not be selfish in this thing. Let's earnestly pray that our brother has the revelation, our sister has the revelation. Earnestly pray as we go through the line. Lord, I believe I'm a part. I understand this. I really do. Evidently, there's something in here I don't understand, but I'm to pray for my brother. Maybe that's it. I don't know. But I'm praying that he or she will understand this. There's somebody amongst us. There's not growing up in Christ. Not growing up to the stature. Not piling word upon word. See? Pray. Let's rise. The brethren, come forward. Very quickly. I won't comment. Don't need to comment. Just read the scripture. All right, with John 13, it says, the supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. Now, you see, the devil couldn't do that until it was the right time. And nothing can ever happen till the right time. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he was come from God and went to God, rise from supper and laid aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself. After he poured water into the basin, began to wash the feet of the disciples and wipe them with the towel with he was girded, and cometh Simon Peter, and Peter said unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? And Jesus answered, said unto him, what I do, thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter said unto him, thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered, if I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. And Simon Peter said, Lord, not my feet only, but my hands and my head. And Jesus said, he that is washed needeth not saved to wash his feet. He just had to, that's left. That's the only part left to wash. But it's clean every whit, for ye are clean, but not all. In other words, we have the day, the sacrifice of Christ. He's risen as our mediator. And if our walk is not right before him, we have an advocate, Jesus Christ the righteous. In confessing our sins, we're able to stand clean before him. Our state, which was purchased by the blood, is perfect. Absolutely perfect. God himself, our righteousness. But we have to walk in a certain path. That's the conduct. But you know, the point is this. We can err, as Brother Branham said, in our conduct. But you better not make an error in the truth, because you have to walk in that light, having fellowship with another. And then and only then will the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanse you. Why? Because it's the blood of the covenant. And a covenant is a composite of words that define a principle between two, what exists. So, all right. Our conduct, we'll walk in that light. We do make mistakes, but the big thing is make sure we are right together. So, all right, foot washing tonight, and also the taking of the emblems of the broken body, the life that was shed for you and me that has come back upon us. We cannot do these things lightly, but even tonight as we studied sovereignty of God, to understand Godhood, to understand these things in a way that perhaps they have not been dealt with before so specifically and definitively, makes us understand then that what we have here is sovereign. And it's been sovereignly given, and we will take it with Him in the great resurrection, perhaps at the wedding supper and then in the millennium. So let's rise at this time then. And the brethren are here, so let's ask the Lord to bless the emblems. Heavenly Father, we ask You now as we stand before You in these emblems here, that You bless them, Lord, to the people and to their understanding. And in their understanding, Lord, we know, having been revealed to us the truth, the reality goes down into the soul, where the life is and the life flourishes and comes forth. Forgive us our sins, Lord, we pray, each one of us. And if we've been in sin, Father, may it be that we'll pledge tonight, Father, to change and mend our ways so we will not be found guilty before You or in any way, Lord, harm anybody else by standing in the way. Help us to be clear before You, O God, tonight. Not only because we are children and we have these rights and we don't want to take advantage, Lord, of anything and presume, because we know presuming is treading where we have no authority. But Lord, we have authority tonight to confess our faults and to look to You, O God, to cleanse them all unrighteousness and take this in the Spirit of Jesus Christ with the living Word. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. The 53rd chapter, we have the actual truth of the death of Jesus Christ, the crucifixion and the shed blood for us. And it says in verse 5, He was wounded for our transgressions, He bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and with His stripes we're healed. All we like sheep have gone astray, we turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on Him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and He was afflicted, yet opened not His mouth. Brought us a lamb to the slaughter, and a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so He opened not His mouth. He was taken from prison judgment. Who shall declare His generation? For He's cut off the land of living. For the transgression of my people was He stricken. And He made His grave with the wicked, and with the rich in His death, because He hath done no violence, neither was any deceit in His mouth. You see, actually, Jesus was destroyed for being the perfect Lamb of God. The devil never could stand anybody who was in the truth, had the truth, and lived the truth. Never have been and never will be. There will always be persecution. Abel was the first one to die for it. And all through the history of the Bible, the prophets were killed at Jerusalem. They went up there to die. And so you find that always there will be the enmity of the wicked against the righteous. And the enmity of the wicked against the righteous is the righteous standing up for the Word. If Eve had stood up for the Word, the serpent would have tried to strangle her without a doubt. He would have tried something to destroy her. It's always the truth. As somebody said, truth is always on the scaffold. And the sword of death is always the unbelief. And the tragic thing, well, the rough thing is not tragic, but the rough thing is that truth in Christ is always submissive, is always lamb-like. It simply stands for the right. It doesn't try to force it. You know, Cromwell was supposed to be a Christian man, and he became a dictator of England. I never did read much about the history, but you know, the revisionists, they make it the worst thing in all the world when that man was trying to bring up the nation the right way, and of course he couldn't succeed. And then there was a man in America years ago, I forget his name, but I'll remember it later on, and he was postmaster general. And he tried to clear the mails of pornography and everything that we have today. And, of course, he's one man that's blasphemed. If you read anything about him, he is hated. I mean, he is hated. And all he tried to do was to be to do right and to live right. And now we see Mr. Clinton doing what he's doing, even lying and perjuring everything else and a murderer because he wants, because he's responsible, like Herod, for the babies dying. He's a great guy. Hallelujah. Everybody loves him. He's great. So you see, the wickedness is virulent. It's murderous. It's in there. And what is it? It's unbelief in the Word. It's unbelief is what is doing it. So tonight we have the privilege of believing the Word, and we should believe it in all meekness. We're not combative. Now, remember, you have to stand for the truth, and you have to defend the truth. Like Paul said, for the defense of the gospel. I'm not set for anything else but Deuteronomy chapter 18 and the doctrine of God. You can have anything you want because that's your privilege. But I'm set for that, and that's my setting. That's my type voice. That's my life. That's everything. Because that is where God is. If he's not there, he's nowhere. You tell me where he is if he's outside of that. Because that was laid down. And it can never be changed. So again tonight, we take the communion, the Lord's Supper, typical. The bread of the broken body, the blood, the wine, the shed blood. And this will not cease. It'll be taken in the millennium. Whether it's in the New Jerusalem, I don't know. That's up to God. It's quite possible it will be in some form or other. And I see no reason why it shouldn't be. Because as Brother Branham said, Jesus ate a fish sandwich. That made my thinking just go completely bonkers. I always thought that if you're in the resurrection, you wouldn't eat something like that. So, you know, you eat flesh here on earth. You have a body that assimilates it. Well, what would make me think, except my own stupid reasoning, that Jesus wouldn't eat a fish sandwich? After all, the point of the matter is, if he made a fish sandwich, why would he feed it then? He wouldn't eat it himself. You know, if you want to put it that way, which would be true. I mean, if I make something to eat, I like to eat it myself. And if I don't think it's fit to eat, I'll tell you, and I'll throw it in the garbage. Because now, if I'm a human being, and you're not a very good example, maybe, of a good one, but the point is, if I would do that, like Jesus said, if you, being evil, know how to give good gifts, how much more the Heavenly Father give good gifts of asking, or give the Holy Ghost that those desire. So, I can see many things that that I would just normally believe from wrong teaching, or my own perception from what is taught that was wrong. I just don't want to be that way. I want to know what the Word says, and if the Brother Branham says a certain thing, I'm going to believe it. And you can see from my understanding, I go to the Bible, and I believe what he says, and I find in the Bible. Now, you might not agree. That's your privilege. Hey, you don't have to see what I see any more than I have to see what you see. People tell me one thing, and I say, that's fine by me, that's fine by you, no? I don't have to argue with anybody, fuss to anybody. But I have a moral obligation, spiritual obligation, to stand for what I believe in my heart, I know, to be the truth, because I can find in the Bible what God says. And the prophet said. So now the prophet said, take communion. And the only thing that holds us from taking communion is if we find gross immorality in anybody. That could be a male or a female. As long as gross immorality is not there, I have no question of you taking communion any more than I question myself. My question myself is, do I have a right? Do I understand? Do I believe? Am I walking in light? Am I trying to live, at least, as Brother Branham said, a good Christian life? Well, how much I'm trying is not the answer. The answer is, am I trying? You know, because you sin 1,000 times a day, backslide 1,000 times a day. And this represents what Jesus did for us. And remember, he rose to put in full effect what he gave us through his death and resurrection. And if you do and I do that tonight, say, look, Lord, I know this is in full effect, absolutely, 100%, because Jesus has risen to make sure that his elect, which I believe I'm a part of, will receive it. And that covers healing and everything that God purchased. As Paul said, if God spared not his own son, but freely delivered him up for us all, how shall he not also with him freely give us all things? And the all things put right there in the atonement, every single promise in the Word of God becomes ours. And if we believe that tonight, that this is the covenant blood. Remember, it's the blood of the covenant. And when the blood was shed, the covenant cut, that meant nobody could go back on it. God cannot go back on his word. He couldn't anyway. But this was just showing you that God wouldn't do it. So I trust for tonight, whatever our needs are, those needs would be met. Many times people have been healed, taking communion. and wonderfully restored and blessed, and there's no reason not to. So let's rise at this time. The brethren come forward and continue this part of the service. Now we'll pray over the emblems here. Heavenly Father, we pray that even as we sanctify these emblems, Lord, knowing they are dedicated unto this wonderful service that Jesus did for us, and in glorifying you, Lord,